I am joined by my buddy in banter, Matt Bellany. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So, I was having a pleasant dinner at a friend's house Sunday night when the news that Bob Chapek was out. Bob Iger was returning as the CEO of Disney, which shocked me, caused me to leave the dinner early and shocked the town.
You think you were shocked? So I'll tell you a funny story. I saw a journalist that we both know had tweeted the press release, and I texted this journalist saying, "Hey, man, I think your Twitter's been hacked." Because okay. I didn't believe it. I didn't think it would go down that way.
Yes.
I thought the whole thing was fake, but I soon realized it was not fake.
It was not fake. Bob Chapek ushered out of there just with no glory or kind pat on the head or anything but a brutal defenestration. The arguments against Bob Chapek we've run through so many times. I mean, you know, there was the very public fight with Scarlett Johansson over her compensation, which was not the sort of thing you want out of the gate, especially when you're a guy who doesn't come from the entertainment community. He'd always been in theme parks, doesn't know the entertainment community. So he was attacked for that. And then he cruised right into the Don't Say Gay debacle, where he initially didn't want to take a position. And then the staff went crazy because Disney has a lot of LGBTQ or just progressive staff. And then he flip-flopped, and the Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, went after him. And then he fired Peter Rice, one of the most respected executives in the business, with no ceremony at all. And then he got the same treatment himself. This seems to have come together very quickly, although we found, you know, in the reporting I did, that the board had issued a unanimous statement, and I'm putting unanimous in quotes, of support for him in June. But it apparently wasn't unanimous, and there were some board members who wanted to get rid of him then and felt like he wasn't working out. Ultimately, they were unanimously ready to replace him with Iger, and Iger seems to have said yes in a matter of days. And he's coming into a host of problems that aren't going to disappear just because he's Bob Iger. The business is challenged. Legacy studios are finding that broadcast and cable revenues are dwindling, and streaming is hemorrhaging money, and all those challenges are there. But let's just start by saying what seemed to have precipitated the thing, which was this earnings call in which Chapek's behavior seemed, you know, out of sync with people.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I listened to it and he was so cheery and was talking about, you know, all these great events coming up at Disneyland. And it's like all the analysts and the investors looking at the numbers being like, what? You missed this badly on projections? You lost $1.5 billion in streaming in a quarter? It was just a totally tone-deaf situation. And we've learned since in the reporting that's come out that the CFO of the company, Christine McCarthy, she was one of the executives that went to the board and said that she had lost confidence in Chapek because she's sitting next to him on these earnings calls when he's embarrassing himself. So that, I mean, that was not good. But I do believe that the overall financials of this company are the real reason behind this. If this company was doing great and the stock was going up, they would overlook some of these problems that Chapek has had personally. And they would say, okay, he's just learning on the job. But not when the company is so down this year, 40% down in the market. You've got people like Dan Loeb who are coming out saying, why aren't you selling ESPN? What's the strategy here? It's just sort of all closing in on Chapek. And I think this earnings call was the last straw.
Yeah. I mean, look, following Bob Iger is difficult. He is a smooth cashmere executive and one of the most admired in business, period. And Iger didn't make it easy. It was very clear to everybody that Iger, having been involved in the selection, I don't think Chapek was exactly his hand-picked choice. I think there was a little bit of peak where the board was leaning on Iger to make a succession plan. And finally, it was like, fine, you know, have this guy. And then it was very clear that Iger thought very little, including this reorganization that took power away from the creative executives and gave it to a Chapek loyalist, this Kareem Daniel, who was, to the surprise of no one paying attention, let go the day after Chapek was let go. So Iger has announced we're putting it back the way it was. We're going to put the power of the purse back in the hands of the creatives. This cheers a lot of people. But first of all, as I said, the problems are still there. And of course, everybody's going to be scrutinizing to say who's going to succeed Bob Iger. You know, he did screw this up the first time. He's under pressure to get it right this time. He's postponed his retirement multiple times. So what will happen there?
Yeah, and it is a personal failure on his part that he has not been able to identify and groom a successor. And the board essentially acknowledged that by putting it in the press release that his job is to steady the ship and to identify a successor to come in and do this job after him. We'll see if it takes 2 years, 3 years, whatever. But I think that's going to be on his agenda from the very beginning, if he doesn't already have a couple names in mind right now. That's why it'll be interesting to see if Peter Rice comes back to the company. If he does, I think that's a big sign of what Iger is thinking for succession, whether he elevates someone like Dana Walden internally, whether he goes outside the company, someone like Jeff Shell at NBC Universal or other executives that are kind of at that level that maybe Iger could identify and bring in and groom. We don't know what the plan is yet, but the one thing that is clear is that a lot of these changes over the past 3 years are going to go bye-bye. I mean, this is, you know, the firing Kareem Daniel on your first day on the job is a big statement to make. And it says to everybody, this is a creative storytelling company. We're going to get back to that. And we're going to, and I think that's not going to be the only one. Disney has this weird setup where there's a president of Hulu who isn't even really in charge of the content on Hulu. So that is all going to get changed, I think, and they're going to figure out how to best do it. I don't think it'll be just go back to 2020 and what we had then. It'll be an evolved thing because the company is different now. He can't come in and just run the same playbook that he did in his previous tenure at the company. He's got a very challenged and very different Disney right now, and he's got to figure out what that means and the strategy for it.
Yeah, Iger is known for the so-called transformative transaction. You know, he bought Pixar, he bought Marvel. That was a good decision. He bought Lucasfilm, he bought Fox, but he has built the company that way. And now, what does he do with it? Does he try to buy something else or does he want to sell?
It's a very different financial environment right now, too. I mean, interest rates were so low for so long that it enabled a lot of those transactions to be relatively debt-free, although they do have a lot of debt now, especially from the Fox deal. But with high interest rates, you can't just go out on a shopping spree, especially where the Disney stock is these days. So it'll be interesting because I don't think he can just play the same song back. So we'll see.
We will. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, founding partner of Puck News.